ప్రవస్తు శివదం తాపచయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్ భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కింవా పరైశ్వరః సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యతే చ క్వచిదిః శుశ్రూషుభిస్తక్షణాత్.
All of the religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana becomes the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is the reality to distinguish from illusion for the world and world. Such truth uproots the truth of miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge the Supreme Lord is established within his mind. The word satam is hearing, atra, translated as devotees, and this is the normal translation of this word. Satam, sattvata is another common word which means a Vaishnava. One who is in relation with Sat, the truth, the word, as is the subject matter of the first verse, Satyam Param Dhīmahi. So in the previous lecture I discussed somewhat about the meanings and nuances of the word Sat. Now, the question arose yesterday that if this Bhagavatam is understandable by the Parama Nirmatsaran and Satam, the highest 100% pure in heart devotee, then what about all of us? And what about statements such as, there are many such statements. Mataji last night, is she here today? She made that question. No. She alluded to that verse. Akama ka sarva kama va moksha moksha kama udara dhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is full of desires, desireless, while desiring liberation, one should intensely worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is the word intense in translated as intensive? Is it? No. Is intensive is a different word in English. There's intense and intensive. It's a different, similar but different word. So that's there, and there are many directions to study and read the Bhagavatam, to hear, well, especially to hear the Bhagavatam. This, for instance, in this verse itself, Sadhyo Kingva Parai Ishvara Sadhyo Hudya Varudhyate. What need is there of any other scripture? Because as soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. And there are many other directions throughout the Bhagavatam, or indications that by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, the heart becomes purified.
and then one can understand Krishna. Can anyone think of any example? Who is that? They're regularly hearing the Bhagavatam. No, these are verses. Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata seva. And by regularly hearing, or by serving the Bhagavata, which in this context is understood to mean regularly hearing the Bhagavata, because this is in conjunction with the verse Shungatam, the Kata, Krishna, Punya, Shravana, Kirtana, Vidyantas, To, Vibhantami, Vidhunoti, Sujit, Satam. The word Satam comes again, the devotee. Krishna is the best well-wisher of his devotees, the heart-to-heart friend of his devotees, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of those who regularly and attentively hear his messages. There are many such verses throughout the Bhagavatam, recommending hearing the Bhagavatam, the result of which is that the heart will be cleansed and one will become Krishna conscious. Or rather, to be more accurate, one's dormant Krishna consciousness will be revived. There's another verse in this. Well, there's so many verses. So many verses in this regard. So it's, although it's stated here that this is understandable by devotees who are fully pure in heart, it doesn't mean that it's only for devotees. Well, in one sense, it is only for devotees who are fully pure in heart, because only they can fully understand it. That's in the 12th canto, we have Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalamya Vaishnavanam Priyam Yaskin Paramahamsam Ekamamalam Gyanam Param Diyate. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana because it is Dharma Projita Kaitava. It completely rejects all cheating kinds of religion, all kinds of cheating, anything. So therefore, it is the spotless Purana. And it's very dear to the Vaishnavas. Herein, yes, by which, yasmin paramahamsim, jnanam amalam, by which the spotless knowledge that is of the paramahamsas, jnanam param diyate, this topmost knowledge is sung within here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Atra, the same word that we find here in this verse, Atra. Atra jnana-viraga sahitam naishkamyam avishkritam. Herein is revealed that knowledge or the method how to live in this world without being on the material platform. Naishkamyam, the platform of working with us within this world and not being attached to it, is in relationship to bhakti, gives the indication of yukta vairagya. And that manchkarma or bhakti yoga is conjoined with jnana and viraga, knowledge and renunciation. Yeah, so from, you see, from all the words of Bhagavatam, you can link it up like a big network. So from this, the concept of yukta vairagya expands. So every word of the Bhagavatam is rich with meaning, but it's all to be understood, everything is to be understood in relation to everything else. Everything is interrelated. Nothing should be taken out of context. This is for those who are interested in Kaitav Karma, cheating attempts at religion. They are very expert in taking statement, they'll take one statement out of context and recite that as, as evidence to support their theory. So everything is to be understood within the context of these, all of Bhagavatam is to be understood within the context of these verses given here, which are again to be the essence which is related here, is to be understood in the expanded form in which these, each point in these verses are described within the text of Bhagavatam itself. And the commentaries are also required, especially Srila Jiva Goswami in his Shatshandarbha has extracted the whole purpose and essence and teachings point by point of the whole Bhagavatam. One point, another point, another point, another point. He gives and gives evidence from the Bhagavatam. Later on, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur did the same thing in his writings. All the acharyas, they all contribute their appreciation, understanding, and realization, because Bhagavatam is unlimited. Now, Srila Rupa Goswami has extracted the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, of what is the purpose of life and how to attain it. Which again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda, Sadhya Sadhana Tattva. What is the purpose of life and how to attain it? This is implicit in this. Actually, even in the first verse of Bhagavatam. So, Rupa Goswami described, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, Jnana Kama Dinavitam Anukulena Krishnam Shivam Bhaktivitama. That the Uttama Bhakti, the highest platform of Bhakti, which is also a definition of Uttama Bhakti, is that without any personal desire, or at least cultivating that. It's one may be on the platform of Uttama Bhakti without being fully purified, but because the aim is to become fully purified, therefore that is considered Uttama Bhakti as compared to Kama Mishra Bhakti or Jnana Mishra Bhakti, which are the coverings, which if one is practicing devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a manner in which he's not cultivating karma or jnana, that favorable cultivation is called Uttama Bhakti. So, you get the point there. One might not be on attain the highest platform, but it's the highest platform of cultivation. And if one is then fully situated on that platform, then it is, of course, the Paramahamsa platform. So this, and that verse is Anyabhilashita Shunyam verse. This parallels the Bhagavatam verse. In different words and with a slightly different perspective, Rupa Goswami is defining what is Uttama Bhakti, or in the Bhagavatam verse, Param Dhamma, and again he quotes Rupa Goswami with his Anyabhilashita Shunyam verse, quotes the Savaitam Sankara Dhamma. So, this Bhagavatam is also suitable for persons who are on the path of Uttama Bhakti, who are not cultivating the enviousness of cheating religion, which is falls under the categories of karma kanda and jnana kanda. They've understood karma kanda, jnana kanda, kevala vishaya bandha, amrita balaya jiva khai. What is that? Nana jone shudra puri, kadarja bhakkhan pari. There's a master in say, Tar janma adhu pakeja. Lotan Dasas sums this up, that Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda, they are pots of poison, which those who are attached to them consider to be nectar. But the result of considering these cheating processes as nectar is that one has to take birth again and again in various species of life. And even down to the lowest level, kadarja bhakkhan nakara, eating all kinds of horrible things and falling down into the lowest level. And we see that in Shastra, how even Indra can become a pig. He's gone up so high, and by his karmakanda activities, he's reached the ultimate platform of a karmakanda, which is to become Indra. And then, some mistake, and again he becomes a pig. And then Nahush became, he took over the post. And he became a snake. So karma kanda is very dangerous. And even jnana kanda, one may become purified by not desiring to engage in material activities, but it's not real purification. It's because anadrita yushmadanga, because they're not, they neglect to worship the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, although such persons can attain liberation due to not being grossly engaged in karmic activities, their consciousness becomes purified, but it's avishuddha buddhi. Purified means they're not interested, the jnanis, they're not interested in going to the heavenly planets or anything in this material world, but they haven't attained, they didn't have any attraction to Krishna, to serve Krishna. They may have even done so in a formal manner, because without a touch of bhakti, one cannot even attain the mukti. But it's basically an envy of Krishna, which the result of which is yena vindaksha vimukta maraminas. They think they are liberated. They think now I'm fully liberated. But yena vindaksha vimukta maraminas tvayasta bhavad avishuddha vidyaha. But their consciousness is not fully purified. And therefore, aruhya kritshrena param padam tatap patantya bhonadita yushmanda. Even after laboriously, with very troublesome sadhana, having gone up to the spiritual atmosphere, they fall down. It means they stop material activities, they stop material desires, they got out of the material world, got merged in the Brahma Dhyoti as far as possible, because the living being can't actually merge in the true sense of the term, has existed, he didn't cease to exist. There's a sense of merging. But due to envy of Krishna, material desires remain dormant. They're not apparent or manifest, but they're dormant within the heart of the supposedly purified person. Because the seed of material desires is envy of Krishna, which is manifest. They may not be blatantly envious of Krishna. They're in a placard saying, "We hate Krishna." But their very refusal to take interest in Krishna or to serve him is indicative of their envy of Krishna. And therefore, because they don't go up to the platform of serving Krishna, they go up beyond the platform of material activities, so they go up and out of that. They got out of the material atmosphere, but they didn't enter the purely spiritual atmosphere. And therefore, they fall down again. The material desires become manifest, and you have to come to the material world to to manifest, to manifest desires, to manifest them in action, one has to come to the material world. So the Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be understood by persons who are cultivating material desires. It may be approached by devotees who still have material desires due to long incarceration in the material world, but it can be entered into or begun to be understood by persons who at least follow those who are 100% pure in heart. And actually this Bhagavatam will not be relishable or even acceptable to persons who are not cultivating the desire for pure Krishna consciousness. They may think, well, this Bhagavatam is very heavy, there's all this condemnation of non-devotees, condemnation of persons who are materialistic, that is compared by Lord Rishabhdev to stool-eating hogs. There's condemnation of everything but pure devotional service to Krishna. Anyway, it seems very heavy, and it is, no doubt, because anything else but pure devotional service to Krishna is simply a disaster for the conditioned soul. And we're so used to living in a disaster that we think it's normal. It's like you find that people will live on the side of a volcano. It's very fertile soil, very good, you know, and any time the volcano erupts. But so far so good. It didn't erupt yesterday, it didn't erupt the day before, it didn't erupt the day before, it didn't erupt the day before that. So they get used to it, and they think, well, no problem. And then one fine day, or night, there's a firework display, and they become mummified in the lava, eventually. And then 2,000 years or so later, people go and dig them up and say, oh look, there's someone who's running away and didn't get away in time. And here's their body, nicely preserved. You can stick it in a museum. So this is foolishness. And the Bhagavatam points this out in unequivocal terms, no false politeness is admitted herein. It's not said very palatably for the non-devotees. Very clearly stated. Well, one reason for that is it's meant for the devotees anyway. Another reason is that non-devotees, they won't like to approach this Bhagavatam. Right from the very beginning, Shukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj that, what does he say? Who can think of any of the first few verses spoken in the first chapter, beginning of the first chapter of the second chapter? Come on, tell us in Sanskrit. You're supposed to be a Sanskrit scholar. No, what Shukadeva said to Parikshit. Yeah, but after the first thing he congratulated him on his questions, but then what did he say? There's several verses. Anyone? What's the next line? So he says that materialistic persons, they spend their night in either sleeping or sex, and the daytime maintaining their families. So he starts off with, Shukadeva Goswami, very saintly boy, looking very nice, sits down, welcomed by the sages, and immediately out come the mortals of blasting materialism. And we'll find that he, in the course of Bhagavatam, blasts the Jnana Kanda also. It's quoting so many great devotees of the past, and quoting the Supreme Lord Himself. So this Bhagavatam won't be relishable to the non-devotees. Only devotees will accept it as it is. And the non-devotees, they may approach the Bhagavatam considering it an object of their sense gratification, because that's what non-devotees do. They consider everything an object of their sense gratification, because that's the way they see the world. It's called Jagat Darshan as compared to Golok Darshan. They see everything is meant for my sense enjoyment. So here's Krishna. He's also meant for my sense gratification. Bhagavad Purana, that's also meant for my sense gratification. But wait a minute, that shloka's not very good for sense gratification. Okay, we're not going to look at that one. We're not even going to consider that one. That's on a very low platform. So they completely reject all verses which point out their cheating propensity. Instead of accepting Bhagavatam as it is, which completely rejects all religious activities which are materially motivated, the non-devotees who approach Bhagavatam completely reject all verses which completely reject their own position. So they're cheating. And the cheating propensity can be brought into even the recitation of Bhagavatam. And then we like to hear nice stories of Krishna dancing, but we don't like to hear all the others. Because we think, well, Krishna's dancing is very nice, but he's telling me that I'm a rascal, that's not very nice. So we like this part of Krishna. We like the sweet part of Krishna. But everything about Krishna is sweet. If we attempt to reject part of Krishna and convert him into a spastic, then we won't get the actual Krishna. That is violence to Krishna. To attempt to cut out part of his body. I don't like this part of Bhagavatam. Cut that out. So, Bhagavatam can be accepted by devotees who are fully pure in heart. One has to be pure in heart to hear Bhagavatam as it is. One who is not pure in heart will pick and choose which parts we like. They don't want to accept Bhagavatam or the message of the Bhagavatam as it is. Therefore, the guru who is speaking Bhagavatam, they say, well, we like some of his instructions, we'll accept these and we won't accept others. You heard that before? We'll accept that those things of Prabhupada which we consider spiritual, and the material things we'll reject, because we like the spiritual part, but the material part telling us how to live, and, well, we don't like that. So, that's not the way to accept Bhagavatam. That's not the way to accept the guru who speaks Bhagavatam. This Bhagavatam, oh, I didn't say the last line of that verse, it's relevant here. Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Namanamya Vaishnavam. There are so many points, you can go down one lane or another. So because the Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana, very dear to the Vaishnavas, in which the knowledge of the Paramahamsas is recited, and herein is revealed or discovered the path of living in this world, not being attached to it, with knowledge. So therefore, tat chindam supatam vicharana karo vimuchyannaha. Therefore, this Bhagavatam should be heard, carefully recited. Tat chindam supatam vicharana karo. Vicharana karo. Applying one's intelligence to understand, not just reciting as a kind of parrot-like activity. Sometimes we'll see in certain parts of the Bhagavatam say that if one recites this, he will get this result or that result. And we often see people, I've seen, of course not much nowadays, people are less pious, but a generation or so ago, it was quite common that we used to see people recite, say, a chapter of Bhagavad Gita, or some part of Shastra every day. They just read it, just like this. You just read the Sanskrit without any attempt to understand what is there. Because it says if you recite this, you get a pious result. So they recite it. They have faith in that, but they don't try to understand what the message is, because they just want the pious result. But Vyasadeva says, vicharanapara, apply one's judgment. Vichara means consideration. So very carefully trying to understand what is this subject matter. Again, this doesn't mean that one should just bring one's wild intelligence. But first of all, chundan, first of all, hear it. Study the matter carefully and consider it carefully. Try to understand it. And one who does that, then he vimuchen naraha. He attains the complete liberation from this material. In other words, he becomes fully Krishna conscious. This is in contradistinction to the Mayavadis who have avishuddha buddhi, and therefore not completely purified, and therefore they are vimukta-mani. They think that they are fully liberated, but one actually becomes fully liberated by hearing, reciting, and carefully considering the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that this is meant for devotees, it is only understandable by devotees. One who is fortunate enough to hear from pure devotees the message of Bhagavatam, even in the neophyte stage, therefore it's said here, sadhya, even once, or immediately, if one hears this, then Krishna becomes manifest within the heart. Whereas those who may be very expert in studying Bhagavatam in an external way, or even explaining it, if they're not cultivating this purity of heart, which comes from surrender to Krishna. Mame kama sharanam raja. Remember this Bhagavatam begins where the Gita, the message of Gita leaves off. For those who are not doing that, they, although for all their study of Bhagavatam, they don't approach Krishna. They don't get Krishna, because Krishna is given by the Krishna is in Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, or Krishna is Bhagavatam. He is the subject matter of Bhagavatam. He is Bhagavatam. And Krishna is given by his devotees, who can actually understand Bhagavatam due to their purity of heart, which is based on their surrender to Krishna. So others who recite Bhagavatam, they may appear to be devotees, but they didn't get it. They missed it. And they may appear to be devotees with ecstatic symptoms, but it's all part of teaching religion. So bhakti, this mystery of bhakti, is not, this can be understood, the science, the complete science of bhakti, of the nectar of devotion, that is described by Rupa Goswami, that there are certain devotees who appear to be, or not actually devotees, but they appear to be highly advanced in devotion. That is Yatya Bhas, that is only a semblance of attachment to Krishna. It's not the real thing. And one's position or in devotional service, that can be understood not so much from symptoms. Rolling on the ground, crying, tears, talking about gopis and all this kind of thing. But for one who is actually on the path of bhakti, then he must be fixed in bhakti siddhanta. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the it is this summation of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the exposition of the actual message of Bhagavatam as revealed through the teachings and pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In there we find this term, Bhakti Siddhanta. Bhakti Siddhanta Vidhita Arasa Bhas. Shunile Prabhu Chitte Nahayulash. Any statements which were against the proper conclusions of Bhakti, namely Bhakti Siddhanta and Rasa Bhas. Those, that which is not actual rasa, but just it's a semblance of rasa, but not rasa in a way that will be actually pleasing to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not pleased to hear this. So talks may be of bhakti, or they might be of siddhanta, but if the two are not fully conjoined, bhakti means with siddhanta, and siddhanta means bhakti. So bhakti without siddhanta, or so-called siddhanta without bhakti, it's neither bhakti nor siddhanta. And therefore it's not pleasing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one should be sat, actually desiring the truth, and under the guidance of the truth, those who are truly situated in Krishna consciousness. Then one can enter into Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, what will happen? That will become converted in the name of Bhagavatam recitation. It will be just another version of cheating religion. Even the nature of this world and the perverted nature of the people within this world is that even that which is most high and most pure, they are very much capable of tweaking it and converting it to something wrong. And we find that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, shortly after his disappearance, or even in his presence, he was being misinterpreted. And in his name, people were engaging in some of the most debased activities. Hare Krishna. I'll stop there. Any question about this? Yes, please.
You said that Uttama Bhakti means even if there is some still not purified things in the heart, if the motivation or the...
Yeah, attitude. Uttama Bhakti means Krishna Anushilam, means a cultivation of Krishna consciousness. It's Anyabhilashita Shunya. It doesn't say Anyabhilasha Shunya. And the Abhilasha means without any other desire. And the Abhilashita means the concept of having any other desire. So there's a significant difference.
So I'm wondering, when we are then cut out, when we are Dhyana Mishra, Karma Mishra, as the devotees, because we are not cultivating, you know,
When do we come from the platform of Kama Mishra Bhakti and Jnana Mishra Bhakti? When we take initiation into the Sampradaya of pure devotees. That's supposed to be the commitment to fully surrender to Krishna through the Parampara. That's the point. When the meaning of Diksha is not simply sitting in a ceremony. That's why Prabhupada said, Diksha is only a formality. When he said that, he was referring to the ceremony. Because if one has not already taken the vow or made the commitment to follow the path of pure devotion, he's not fit to sit in the ceremony anyway. And if he's made that commitment, then for such a person, the Diksha is a the ceremony is a formality of the commitment which is already made. So, that's stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, teachings to, was it Rupa or Sanatha? I think it's Sanatha. I don't know a little Bengali, but now I am yours, Krishna. When the devotee says this, then Krishna accepts him. Yipra kale bhakta kare yata shama kon shay kale krishna kare kare yata shama. At the time of Diksha means surrender to Krishna. Now I am not my own. I'm yours. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Sarvasvatama Charami Shampiya. All my everything, all my hopes, desires, or to speak of material chattels or possessions, I surrendered that all to you. So that is the entrance into Uttama Bhakti. When one is not cultivating Karma Kanda or Jnana Kanda, when one accepts the principles of Bhagavata, therefore we have to hear Bhagavatam regularly. And it's in a mood of submissive hearing to accept the principle. Otherwise, if we cultivate Karma Kanda or Jnana Kanda, then it's not the path of bhakti given by Rupa Goswami. We will not lead to the Krishna of Rupa Goswami. It might lead to the Mahabharata Krishna. Or the TV Mahabharata. You might get some conception of Krishna as being the provider of my material. In Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura's language, if we cultivate devotion or whatever else you want to call it to Krishna, considering him to be the supplier of fuel for the fire of our material desires. And have a big blazing fire and so he's like, Krishna, come along, carry this and carry more fuel, throw it in so that the fire may blaze more. Well, we may get that, Krishna. We may get this, our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. But we won't get Rupa Goswami's Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami's Krishna.
You learned to enjoy, you are explaining the occupational duties of the Grihasthas and the
seventh canto in particular.
There are some explanations or rules that the Grihasthas should follow, and some certain things could be difficult and so on. I was reading, but then also read rules and regulations that for sannyasis, it was even more difficult, actually. And I spoke once with the board about how it is, because I read that going into seven houses and only seven houses and then banging on my knees. And he said, that was for in the West, it doesn't work that way, and for sannyasis, you just follow according to the principle of Jain, Hare Krishna, and Krishna. All those rules. I was wondering, what about Grihasthas? They have to follow all the rules and sannyasis?
One should follow the principles of Bhagavatam according to the direction of one's acharya, who is the living manifestation of the Bhagavatam principle. In that sense, certain principles of Bhagavatam don't apply in the modern age. The basic principles of Bhagavatam are applicable in all times, places, and circumstances. But certain directions of the Bhagavatam are specific to certain times, places, and circumstances. Just like, for instance, it's stated in the Bhagavatam that a brahmachari should wear a belt of manju grass. Now, I don't really have any manju grass here. Possibly it's cultivatable, just like Tulasi is cultivatable in the West. But it's not an essential principle. We have to distinguish between principles and details. How we have to distinguish means, not we, but that is given by our acharyas. They do the distinguishing for us.
You mentioned the vikshas formality. So my question is regarding other yagas. Prabhupada mentions in many places that yagas simply don't work in Kali Yuga. No qualified
Brahmins. Well, let's find that especially.
And
yeah.
What about this? We see that many devotees do yagas for their children.
Well, these yagyas that devotees perform for their children, etc., they work in as much as the essence is Krishna Bhakti. It's invoking the mercy of the Lord upon their children or whatever. As far as the procedures are concerned, the Vedic Brahmins would laugh or frown. Or get angry. But the essence is invoking the mercy of the Lord. And that is laudable.
Is it obligatory?
No. Family life also isn't obligatory. Nothing's obligatory except to Smartavya Satatang Vishnu, Vismartavya Najati Chit. And within, always remember Krishna, never to forget him. Within that, some things are so important as to be almost obligatory, such as chanting the names of Krishna. For us, 16 rounds, because that's given by our acharya. But then we find the gopis, they weren't chanting their rounds in the morning. Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj, he wasn't chanting any rounds. So they're pure devotees, so on a certain level, even chanting the holy name, of course, the pure devotees, they chant the holy name spontaneously, but not in a regulated way. In Mayla. We find the six Goswamis, Sankha, Purvaka, Nama, Gana, Natsidhi, they were chanting in a regulated way. That we can understand, they were setting the example for others. Otherwise, for pure devotees, there's no need to follow any regulations, even the regulation to regularly chant the holy name. They just do it spontaneously, as and when the inspiration comes to them, which is most of the time anyway. So, are these rituals obligatory for householders? No, but they are recommended. Because householder life means, one is having a good dose of mixture with the material world, and the concepts tend to be, or one's outlook tends to be quite materialistic. So, the yagyas or all such ceremonies, these samskars, they help the children, and they also serve as religious social occasions. Householders need social life as part of family life. The rishis in the forest, they may not have had much household. Most of the rishis were married, so they may not have had much social life as we consider it in the modern age, but for most people, social life, mixing with their friends. So to do that centered around ceremony for invoking the mercy of the Lord on one's children, when it's an ideal way to put the two things together. So it's recommended. Another important consideration in spiritual advancement at all levels is acting according to one's adhika or level. And if one tries to jump over adhikarandhan, it's called, then you tend to get into trouble from trying to act on a platform, a higher platform than one is eligible for. So yeah, these things, samskaras are good for householders, and mostly for your children. And our devotees, we can do some kind of fire sacrifice. Even without a fire sacrifice, they have a Harinam sacrifice. Like Shrava. It's not exactly the same style. That can be performed by calling the devotees and having kirtan and giving them prasad and speaking in a Krishna conscious way without the departed. That's how Vaishnava should, at least allegorical Vaishnava should perform Shrava. For instance, anything else? Yes, please.
Very unfortunately,
There's less and less opportunity to hear proper Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, there are lots and lots of recordings. There's so many recordings of lectures.
Yeah, one.
I would think there'll be more and more opportunities. Well, you can't go wrong if you do that. Although Prabhupada, if you just listen to Prabhupada's lectures and read his books, and then, like I say, you're definitely going to get Bhagavatam as it is. But of course, Srila Prabhupada also told us to have Bhagavatam classes. And in Prabhupada's presence, we could have also just listened to recordings of Prabhupada's lectures or just read his books, but Prabhupada told his disciples to have Bhagavatam classes with the devotees giving the lectures. So that's part of Prabhupada's legacy and his instructions also. I mean, if we're so much, if we feel that we can't get the real thing in any other way, then we could do that. As Prabhupada states in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if one thinks that the Krishna conscious movement, I can't, I'm paraphrasing here, is just full of all cheating devotees and useless people, then one may associate directly with the spiritual master. So I guess you could take it like that. If you don't find satisfaction elsewhere, you can just listen to Prabhupada and read it. But yes, please.
Guru Maharaj, could you please tell something about, more about this Bhakti Siddhanta? Because it sounds like it's little, you have to be very knowledgeable in this perfection stage. Because Siddhanta has this.
What is Bhakti Siddhanta?
Because,
well, the essence of it is very simple, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's summed up in the Dashamuru. That's summed up in it. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, we're all His servants. We're meant to serve Him, not any personal desire. That's the summary of it. So if one has that understanding, then that is Bhakti Siddhanta. The details of it, well, yes, some learning is required. To understand the future. But that's the, if one has that understanding, then all the statements of Shastra or statements of anyone else, they're all to be judged by this understanding. What is the symptom of one who's fixed in Bhakti Siddhanta, that he always acts mind, body and words always fully engaged for the pleasure of Krishna? Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam.